Measuring yourself is easy in some respects, like your age, your height, your weight, but not so easy in others, like your character, integrity, and maturity. But those are the real measurements we should be focusing on. Your quantitative info doesn't define who you are, it's your qualitative info that does. But growth doesn't just happen. It takes intentional accountability on your part. So welcome to The Measuring Post, a place where we can learn and grow together.
Hello, welcome to another edition of The Measuring Post. My name is Joe Massa. I am the host of The Measuring Post, and I have a very special guest once again today. This is a longtime friend of mine, somebody that's going to highlight something she's been dealing with for many years. We'll get into that in just a few moments, but this lovely lady here is Miss Crystal Showers. How are you, Crystal?
I'm good, baby. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for taking some time to be on The Measuring Post today. I know we've been trying to arrange this for a while, but today all the stars aligned and we get you on the show.
They did. Yeah, it worked out.
Absolutely. So part of the reason we had some issues scheduling you to be on the show is the exact reason why we're here to talk today. And you actually are diagnosed with something that I don't think many doctors even know about.
They
and that's kind of one of the running jokes we go with you is that you're kind of the expert and you're teaching these green, wet behind the ear Doogie Howser doctors about your illness, which is called
Ehlers-Danlos. Let's go with the Ehlers.
I even went to Google how to pronounce that and looked it up, and I still butchered it.
Yeah.
So it goes by EDS.
Yes.
And again, that's probably the way I'll refer to it from now on, so I don't sound like one of these guys that doesn't know anything. But before we get into all the nitty-gritty of what EDS is, how long has this been something that you've been dealing with?
My whole life.
So your whole life.
Yep.
So were you diagnosed really early on, or was that something that they didn't really know what was going
on? They had no idea what was going on. I actually had to fight for my official diagnosis. I was the one who did the research. They told me that I had fibromyalgia and sent me on my way. And fibromyalgia is absolutely an incredibly real thing. But I think that it is something that the doctors say when they don't know what else to tell you. And that was not good enough for me. I believe that there are many sides to fibro, and I needed more specific answers.
So would you consider EDS under that fibromyalgia umbrella,
No. Essentially?
Not even in the
same
ballpark.
No, I don't. A lot of my doctors use fibromyalgia as far as diagnostics and things like that go. But the ones who understand it a little bit better refer to it differently. But I actually don't even think I have one medication that refers to Ehlers-Danlos. All of my medications for pain or whatever say for fibromyalgia.
Yeah. So again, that's sort of that lack of knowledge on this. You know, what's the amount of people in the world or country, or do you even have this information that are really truly diagnosed with what you have?
So truly diagnosed, I'd say, I think I read that it was like 10 million in the whole world. And actually I think that's wrong. I think it was 1 million in the world. Sorry. That have an official diagnosis. Now, many, many, many people, I believe it's extremely underdiagnosed, and I think a lot more people actually have it, but because it's so difficult to diagnose, I think people are being misdiagnosed.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably safe to assume, and in a minute we'll get into what actually is EDS, but even if it was really underdiagnosed like you think, even if, say, it was 50 million, 100 mm-hmm. million, compared to the global population, that's still pretty darn rare.
Yes.
Like that's not something that most people probably do get training on or even really understand.
No, I was the first patient that many of my doctors have had that actually had the diagnosis. So they are, I have had doctors literally Google in front of me what it is.
I mean, that's got to be encouraging, right? Like, oh, I'm in the right hands here.
You know, if they actually take the time to Google it instead of just poo-pooing me and sending me on my way, I'd actually rather see that. I'd rather see them at least get a little bit, you know, the Google paragraph than just say, oh, okay, and that's it, bye. So.
So I guess that's the perfect point to bring in the Google paragraph. So what the heck is EDS? What is that all about? What does it entail? What's a day in Crystal Shower's life look like?
All right. So EDS is a collagen disorder. We have collagen, humans, dogs, everyone. Collagen in every little piece of their soul. So from the tip of your toenails to the top of your head, there is collagen in your body. Most people, when their collagen starts flailing, or, you know, if say they sprain an ankle, or, you know, they twist an ankle or a knee or a hip, their body is like a rubber band and it will snap back. And yes, it's painful. And yes, it hurts and that sucks. But it most of the time it will go back to where it lives. Might take a little bit of healing, but it will get there. My body is put together with bubblegum. And every single stretch, every single tear, every single thing that happens never goes back to where it's supposed to be. So every time I twist a knee, it makes things worse in my body and it will not heal.
Yeah, and I know that just from being friends with you for so long, like this means a lot of dislocated fingers
yes.
and ankles and hips and things, literally just picking up a water bottle and your wrist goes,
yep.
And then all of a sudden you gotta wait for yourself to, you know, feng shui yourself back in a,
yeah.
to the right place.
Yeah, that's exactly.
So I would say a question that would be on my mind if I didn't already know you is, how often do you see these like injuries or just displacements of body parts from their natural living habitat? How often do you experience like a symptom?
Unfortunately for me, it is daily. Every single day, yeah. something either subluxes, and a subluxation is where something will pop out but immediately go right back in, or dislocations where it is a full dislocation of the joint, and 90% of the time I have to put it back in myself.
So if I ever dislocate a shoulder or something, I could come to your house and you'll know how to get me back in place.
I would try. Well, I, you know what? I wouldn't even try. If you've never done that, I'm not touching you. It is so painful. You want to go to the doctor and get an anesthetic to put that crap back into where it belongs. I would not subject you to that.
I was trying to save some money, Crystal. In this economy, come on. Who's got
God.
Doctor anesthesia money?
Don't even get me started.
Well, you know, it's just so fascinating to me. And as crappy as it is for you, it is something like, it's amazing how many people are actually born healthy without things because of these random unknown diseases.
Right.
And, you know, for me, people who've watched my show long enough see me twitch my eyes and crap and a lot of stuff. I have Tourette's syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Tourette's syndrome is often identified as the people that curse and scream and shout obscenities randomly, but that is so very extremely rare, even on the spectrum of Tourette's. It's more the twitches and the tics and stuff that I deal with. But
right.
I mean, comparatively speaking, I would deal with this a million times over before having to go down your lane. And I'm sorry to say that because that's kind of insensitive.
But no, it's not. And you know, one thing that I've learned through this journey is that pain is subjective. What is extremely painful and annoying for you may not be for me, but that does not mean at all that I do not empathize with everything that you deal with because it sucks. And, you know, so I think pain and twitches and everything that the human body does, absolutely subjective to the person who's dealing with it.
Well, that is very true. And I guess I'll have to take that in consideration. You are a very tough cookie. I've known that about you for a long time.
Well, thank you.
I know that that's something that I'm kind of a big baby with pain. So little things I think I'm okay on. But, you know, I get like the man cold and it's basically
I was
going to
say,
like,
you're a man, babe. Don't even get me started.
Yeah,
bless your heart. But no, that I do not have.
Yeah,
I
will go to war for you. But if I stub my toe, I'm out for 6 to 7 weeks. Like, so. It's definitely true. We are as tough and rugged as men can be. We're big babies half the time. So, is there any sort of treatment that they can give you? Is there any sort of diagnosis or plan in place that can maybe alleviate some of this?
So there is no treatment and there is no cure for the type of Ehlers-Danlos that I deal with. Mine is called type 3. And that's just, it's really characterized by the dislocations. I have extremely fair and stretchy skin. I can do party tricks. I can do all sorts of fun things. But what we deal with is it's the, oh my God, my brain just stopped. Ha! The symptoms of other things that this comes with. Oh my God, I can't remember the word. Oh, it's called comorbidities. That's what it is. And so we suffer like EDS in and of itself. It's painful because it sucks, but everything that comes along with it is where we run into the problems. So people with EDS tend to get a lot of migraines. We tend to, there's something called POTS, and that's where you randomly faint. Your heart rate just pops and you faint. There's something called MCAS, and that's mast cell activation disorder, and that's where you're just allergic to everything. So all of us have all these comorbidities that go along with the EDS, which is where the problem comes. EDS in and of itself, not necessarily deadly, not necessarily, well, at least the kind I have, not necessarily a thing. It's all the crap that you get diagnosed with it, if that makes any sense.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And
Okay.
the word comorbidities, if
Yeah.
I said that correctly, I'm not surprised you forgot that at all. That's amazing that you even recalled that. But again, I guess it's one of those things when you go through it and experience it daily, it's something that becomes a part of your vocabulary because it
Yeah.
has to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know you got a lot of those side symptoms. I keep saying symptoms, I'm assuming that's the right word,
That's
that
right.
goes along with your EDS. But even like we tried to do this interview a couple weeks back, or I don't know, 10 days ago, and the weather, we're both in Colorado, and the weather here was real crappy and cold and snowy. And
Yep.
just like, somebody that's old football injuries or arthritis, the temperature can play a factor in how you're feeling
Absolutely.
for the day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's the barometric pressure, and it doesn't matter if it's going down or up. If there is a large swing, imagine the road runner running down the street with the anvil that the coyote just dropped on his head. That's kind of how it makes me feel. Like everything is just, every single step I take is extremely painful. Some days I cannot walk to the bathroom without having to stop halfway there because of the pain or because of the exhaustion that it causes. So.
Yeah, and that brings me to another point, just because again, of our history, knowing you and your family, this has had a major effect on like your work life, what
Yes.
you're able to do, your social life, being able to go to friends' birthdays and weddings and things like that.
Yep.
So how do you find ways to, A, keep your mind busy, like when you get in these days when you can't move and you're just kind of laid up? And then also, I know how you get a lot of your snuggles when your husband Hunter's at work. You got the three grown horse-sized dogs, which are beautiful. What is it? Lola, Linus, and Leroy.
Those are my babies.
Yeah, so I know you, I see all the snuggle pictures, which are real cute, but sort of a back-ended question on that. Do you ever have any issues with the dogs, like being too aggressive, or like not on purpose, but just like
Right.
bumping into you?
Yes. Bumping into me, I get bruises and they're my skin is so extremely fragile that their hair, if one comes off and sticks perfectly, it will stick into my skin like a splinter. And I have to try to find that and pull it out. So it's a, 1.5 inch dog hair that's literally stuck into my skin like a splinter because I'm so fragile. Leroy is my big baby, and he is extremely cognizant and very, very, very sweet when he lands on me. But sometimes we're just having way too much fun, and we jump all over mama, and we're having a good time. And that's where a lot of dislocations, a lot of cuts, a lot of bruises come from that. But they're pretty good most of the time. It's pretty rare that they do stuff like that.
Yeah. So going back to the first part of that question, how do you keep yourself busy when you have days that are
So,
just
I
overwhelming?
mean, my house is my oasis. I say I'm about 90 to 95% homebound. So I spend all of my time at home. I rarely get out unless I'm going to a doctor's appointment. So my house is kind of turning into artwork. I've been told it's a piece of art. On horrible, horrible, horrible days when my brain does not work, I just watch movies and hang out with my dogs, and that's literally all I do. On days I feel somewhat good, I have ideas of things that I'd love to do around this house and things that I want to see and, all that stuff. And then on really good days, I do projects. Painting things, I like to refinish furniture. I rearrange my house daily. We have a library in our home that we created, so I love to read books. Hunter and I both collect books. There are puzzles, there are stupid games on your phone that I can play. I mean, honestly, anything, if my brain is working but my body is not, anything to take my mind off it. Anything at all, whatever it be, and puzzles or drawing, games, all that stuff. And then on good days, I do lots of things. So it just depends.
And I do love your house, and I would agree that artwork is a perfect word for it. So if you're watching and you see behind Crystal, it's very bright. It's got the lights and the rainbows, but there's a whole different side of Crystal. She's like the skull master and the Halloween queen, and you like a lot of that sort of dark and spooky. But
I
you
do.
also have this very preppy bubblegum side, which I love because there's just like it's like the night and day of Crystal. You're
Yep.
so vivid, and then you go into a different room and it's like you're in a Tim Burton movie,
Yes.
and I love it.
Yes. Our library is extremely gothic. There are skulls and pumpkins and skeletons all over the place. And I actually have two life-size skeletons having a tea party in the middle of the room just because it's fun. And if it's fun, I'm going to do it. I'm that person that when you were 13 years old and you just did whatever you wanted in your bedroom, I never grew out of that. I tried once, hated
Yeah, growing up is underrated or
Uh-huh.
overrated, I should say. It's
Yeah.
overrated, yeah.
It, yeah.
Yeah, so how does Hunter feel about all the home additions? And he's a good sport. I'm just putting him
He
on the spot
is.
a little bit.
One of my favorite things about him is that he is incredibly supportive of the crap that I do with the crap that I deal with. He's incredibly supportive of me as a whole, which is that I'm a lot. So bless his heart. He also has an incredibly beautiful creative side. So if I'm going to do a project, I will always ask his opinion because he may add something that I hadn't even thought about. And then I get to play even more. And, and he's always willing to help and he's always got great ideas. And he loves our house. He thinks it's just fun, which it is. So.
I mean, my wife would never let me put skeletons in the room. So yeah, I want to come visit just so I can have fun at your house. It's like a playground over
It is. It's a
there.
Gothic Pee-wee's Playhouse.
That's actually, I think I'm going to get you a sign made now. That's beautiful. That's
And
a
Hunter
good
also
one,
collects
Dottie.
Stephen King novels. Oh, well, Stephen King anything. He loves Stephen King. So that's why we decided to do a library, and that really led to the whole feeling of the library is Tim Burton, Stephen King based, if you will.
You need to get one of those Murphy doors where you can like pull one book back and then like the magic door
We
pops
want one.
open.
We don't have anywhere to stick one, but we want a, we absolutely, I want a Narnia door somewhere. That would just be awesome.
Yes, that has definitely been on my bucket list for many years. Since I was a little kid, I've wanted a
Oh,
Narnia door slash
so fun.
something to fold away or open up that no one knows about. And then
Absolutely.
I would never even use it just 'cause like
Oh,
what am
no.
I going to do in there? But I just want it.
Yeah, I just, yeah, no, I just want one. I actually, I would turn my pantry into one if I could. You have to go over there. Sorry, my big one is
Oh.
about ready to try to jump up on us. And if he does, you'll get a lovely visual of him and probably me screaming.
Leroy, you
Good
gotta hang
old
on, buddy. We're still
Leroy.
working.
I'm sorry.
I love the pictures. And what's the hashtags you give for all the dogs?
So,
There's life with
Leroy
Lola.
is for the love of Leroy. Linus, who is our baby, he is a Beagle Basset Pitbull. God bless him. And he is, this is Linus. And then I have my beautiful Miss Lola. And she is a Dalmatian pit bull and the most neurotic animal on the planet. And hers is Life with Lola Roo.
She's a sweetie. Yeah, she's a fun dog. I've met them all before. Yep. I don't think I've met Linus, though, because
no,
you got Linus.
He's just now three, and we haven't had a party or had anyone over since we've had him, so.
Yeah, yeah. So he's the one I haven't seen in person yet, but
yeah.
One of these days, when I bring over your Pee Wee Herman sign, I'll get to play with Linus. So just going through, you know, your day, and like, obviously some days are much better than others, and some days are complete shit show, for lack of a better word. How do you stay positive through all this? I mean, you're always such an upbeat soul, and I know you obviously struggle, and you have days where it's like, I'm not going to do anything today. But every time I get to talk to you, it's always, hey, baby, hey, love, how are you? Everything's great. And you're just this big positive ball of energy. And how do you do it?
Work. It takes a lot of effort. I have a very strict rule for myself. I also suffer with bipolar disorder, and so I know how low and how bad I can get if I let myself. So my rule is I am allowed to feel crappy for 3 days mentally. If I go past 3 days of being depressed, angry, sad, down in the dumps, whatever, I contact my psychiatrist and say, okay, this is where we are, because if we hit day five, we're going to have a really hard time getting out of this, you know, and I will have a therapy session or, you know, something like that. My friends and family are absolutely incredible when it comes to things like that. And especially my mother. God bless my mother. I will just call her and say, I need my mommy. And I don't care if we talk about toenail clippings, but something will pull me out of my crappy day or whatever I'm dealing with. My hardest time is when I have really bad diagnoses. 3 days. I give myself 3 days to feel sorry for myself. And after that, put on your big girl pants and get over it. So there is meditation and breathing exercises, music therapy. Music is God. you know, music and art and books, and I find something that I love. Bro. Sorry, the big guy's whining at me.
No worries. One of my previous episodes, I had to remove my dog. I have Bowser, who's a puggle.
Bowser!
And she's old lady now. Yeah, she's old now. She's like 13 and a half, but she snores. And as she's getting older, it's just... And she'll sit in the side of the room. I'm like, what is going on with you? You're not even moving. And just staring at walls. And she's starting to get to show her age a little bit, which is sad, because
I know,
you know, if you've owned a dog long enough, you know, when they get to that sort of peak, it's a quick downslide. And I hope that's not coming too quick, but I can definitely understand the loud and needy dog. So no apologies needed for that. So just being, you know, and first of all, going back before the dog talk, I love that rule about the 3 days.
Yeah.
I think that's really important to give yourself like a hard line in the sand where you say, okay, I know this is going to come. I'm going to have these rough days and bad patches of emotional and physical feelings, but we have to put a cap on it. Otherwise you go too far. And then again, it's really hard to get out of.
Yep.
And I've been blessed to not have to deal with bipolar on a personal level, but I've had a lot of family and friends that have dealt with it. And I know how devastating it can be. And it ravaged my cousin, and he was not so much the down, he was the up. He was the manic side.
Oh yeah, I do.
But I've also had friends who were really on the down side of that equation. And it's, do you find yourself going depression more than you do manic?
I have pretty darn good swings. I think that they're fairly even keeled for me. I've been dealing with that part, you know, I think I was diagnosed when I was like 15, and it took a very long time. I had an incredibly low, full on mental snap in my 20s, and I had to figure out how to get myself out of it. Nobody was going to do it for me. And I lost a lot of friends, and I could not deal with myself. So I had to learn coping mechanisms. I had to figure it out for myself how to do this, because no one's going to do it for me. And so I'm it took a lot to get there. But most of the time, I can handle my stuff pretty darn well. And the same goes for the EDS. Nobody's going to do it for me. I got to figure it out. So figure it out.
Yeah. And I think it's really nice to hear somebody's perspective like that about how they cope with something so daunting. But it's also like a stark reminder that, unfortunately, for the most part, people can't do things for you. You have to figure it out yourself. And whether that's a mental illness or physical handicap, disability, or even something like addiction or something, like, at some point you have to be the advocate for yourself, and you have to be the one that steps out of that darkness yourself, because we can give you all the encouragement and advice in the world, but if you don't use it or apply it, for a better word, it doesn't matter. It's just words that don't mean anything.
Yep, exactly.
So not that the words don't matter, but because I would like to get your words, what would you tell somebody dealing with something of this magnitude, whether it's EDS or something at all, that really there is no cure for, there is no real treatment plan for?
You know,
what words of wisdom would you share?
I honestly, I'm kind of the hard love person when it comes to things like that. And again, it's, you have to figure it out. I will hold your hand. I will stand next to you. You can move into my house. Whatever you need to do this or to help, let me help you do this, I will. I'm not going to baby you. I am not going to encourage you. And I'm sure as hell not going to coddle you. Figure it out. I'll hold your hand while you do it, but I'm out. There's nothing I can do. So that, you know, that's really
that was,
a hard stand I take.
That was so Gen X of you.
Yeah.
Just figure it out. Figure it out, you nerd.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but I think that's right. It is good to have that support, though, where someone will say, hey, if you're having a rough day, you can come over. Mm-hmm. I will hold your hand. I will stand with you. And sometimes that by itself is just enough to get you over the hump of like, okay, I'm not alone, even though I feel alone, or I might be going through the symptoms alone. Like, we do have a support system, and you've had such a great family and a lot of great friends over the years. I know that it's really helped you. And obviously, you know, your husband is amazing. I wish, you know, I'll have to get together with him one of these days and
you
go
He'd
do
love
a boys
that.
Day.
He would love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know he just started a new job, so tell him congratulations. And
I will.
Hopefully that's freeing up more of his time. I know the previous role was taking a lot of his schedule and, like, you know, odd hours and weird things.
Yeah, he seems to be enjoying this one, and it's normal human hours, and I get to see his face every day, so it's nice, and he's much happier, so that's a big deal.
Yeah, that makes a lot of difference, and certainly takes a lot of stress off of his plate, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely.
So are you still working with your family's company? I mean, you can
am.
Do a lot of that from home, at least you were.
I'm very, very, very fortunate that I get to work from home most of the time. I do go into the office Monday mornings for a couple hours, but that's all. It is my father's company, and my uncles have worked there, and my cousins have all worked there, and my brothers worked there. You know, I've run the office for like 25 years now. And he is getting ready to retire. So that's going to be an interesting journey. I've been extremely fortunate in that sense that, you know, there's a lot of support there with the things that I go through. And if I'm having a bad day, you know, it's okay. And we all kind of deal with it together, which is very nice.
Yeah. I love hearing that. And that was always a saving grace for you, I know. Yeah. And it's nice to have had that opportunity. And I've been lucky over the years too. You know, I worked for a family company for a while when I desperately needed something, and it is good to have those resources. But also, like, if you're a business owner, consider hiring somebody that needs a flexible work schedule.
Yes.
You know, it's, and be willing to work with, I hate this sort of, it's like military work ethic where it's like, be here at 7:30 on the dot, and if you're 2 seconds late, you're fired. And it's like, you know, let us work on our own pace a little bit sometimes, but also, as long as the work gets done and the job's done right.
Yeah.
You know, I've never had a problem with understanding why people can't be a little more flexible. So I'm happy that that worked out for you.
Yeah. So far, so good.
Very true. Very true. So Is there any sort of way people can donate to EDS? I know, like, you know, they did the ice bucket challenge for ALS many years ago. Is there any sort of fundraising or any sort of awareness or?
No,
it's just kind of swept under the rug.
It is. And it's like I said, I mean, I've literally had a doctor look at me and tell me that can't happen, bro. It just happened. You know, like, okay, Doogie, go get someone else because I don't want to talk to you anymore. And it takes, like, I mean, literally when the doctors have a chapter or one lecture regarding Ehlers-Danlos in medical school, you know, a lot of them have absolutely no idea what's going on. But I think that the best thing that someone can do as with anyone with that's dealing with a chronic problem or a chronic illness, the best thing that anyone can do is just be there. Don't get mad. I have to cancel. Unfortunately, you know, as well as anyone that I have to cancel plans all the time, all of the time. And it, at 9 o'clock in the morning, I will be, hell yeah, I'm so in. This sounds like so much fun. By 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm curled up in bed. So, you know, just try to be understanding, try to be there. And if someone has something that you've never heard of, go research it real quick. Just, you know, I mean, Ehlers-Danlos is, I've been diagnosed for 5 years now, 6 years, and I still learn something new every single day. So I don't need you to dive in and get your medical degree, but try to understand a little bit about, you know, what we're going through. And I think that that is the best thing that anyone can do. At this point, there's not a whole lot of fundraising. There's not, I've thought about doing a fundraiser. There's just not a lot out there for us.
Yeah. And let me know about a fundraiser. I would love to help set something up and spread it through some of my networks and different companies that I have affiliations with.
I've always wanted to do a casino night. I think that it would just be so much fun. A black tie casino party, Bruce Wayne style, and just hang out with everybody, have fun, play some craps, enjoy a night. But I'm so damn tired, Joe. I can't, I'd be lucky if I could show up, let alone plan the damn thing.
We'll have to do a virtual one so you can the digital style.
Then, you just never know.
You never know. But you know what? The one thing we do know is that your positivity is infectious. Your will to fight this and to continue to show up every day and be the best version of yourself. I love to see it. I know that this is not easy and it never will be easy, unfortunately. And probably as you age more, it'll probably be less easy. And I know that that's a really horrible thought that you have to live with every day. But
yeah,
I really thank you for sharing this story because I think these stories, the ones that are the hardest and the ones where people suffer the most through them, they're the most powerful stories and they help the most people because there is somebody listening right now that maybe doesn't have EDS, maybe has three other letters that you put together that spells out another weird name that they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And it matters to see somebody go, okay, well, you know, I got some problems, but look at this girl. She's got all this going on and she's still loving life at the best of her ability and enjoying every bit of it. And I think that's really important. So thank you for sharing your story with us today.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. And you know, you're always one of my favorite people.
Oh, you know, I adore you. You know, I do. You and your wife.
Yeah.
On the top of my list as always.
Yeah, absolutely. And we would love to link up soon. And obviously when you're feeling up to it, we'll, and anytime you want us to come see the new library, please let me know. Oh, I would love to check that out.
Whenever too. You want. The art is never ending over here.
I know. I love seeing some of your posts where it's all of a sudden you're like, I had a crazy weekend and repainted a whole something, like whether it's a room or like, see this table? This is what it used to look like. Now it's completely goffed out and like just massive flames or something on it. I'm like, that is awesome. I would never do that. I just don't have that artistic ability in me. Still working on stick figures over here.
Hey, you know what? Stick figures are awesome. Have your beautiful son teach you some stuff. That boy can draw for days.
I know. I'm kind of bummed. He doesn't really do much of it anymore. We've been trying to get him to get back into that, but he kind of goes in these peaks and valleys where all of a sudden he'll draw 30 things. And then he's like, draw. I don't do that anymore. I'm lifting weights.
I was going to say, now he's a big old football player and he's kicking ass and that's what he's going to do. So.
But. Yeah. He's got the two sides of him, but artistic, I don't know where it came from because I can't draw. His mother can't draw. My daughter's really good drawer too. She's quite a bit younger. She's got the bug, but she's still at the age where she enjoys it. So, mm-hmm. Luke's kind of like, well, when I'm like not doing other high school guy things.
Well,
like,
yeah,
okay, bro.
So I have a feeling he'll get
when
back.
My girlfriend's not here. Maybe
stress relief from life. When life smacks him upside the head after college and he goes, maybe he'll draw
then.
He's
just getting ready to, he's looking at college now. So we're, next year, you know, I'm going to cry like a baby when we drop him off, I'm sure.
I cannot even.
But, it's exciting for him in this part of his life. But, the art, keep the art alive and you keep being the artist you are. And I love watching your fun creative projects and I'm happy Hunter's there to contribute to that and really just, always take care of yourself and never lose that smile because we love it.
Yeah, I do my best, Joe. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on the Measuring Post. I'll put some links up about information on EDS. If nothing else, feel free, like you can donate, but educate yourself. I like that. That's the best way you can help somebody in any situation. Mm-hmm. Learn about what they're going through, be there if they need you and don't be quick to judge because, you know, on the outside, you might look just fine.
Yep.
And like looking at you, you would never say, well, she's probably got some horribly rare syndrome that can't be fixed. You don't look that way.
I think the head,
but again, we don't know.
Head might give it away a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. But, you know, but EDS is not a name that would ever come up.
Yeah.
They might say, oh, maybe she has cancer. Maybe this, maybe that. Maybe you just like a style that way. But EDS is something that, again, it's so rare. People mm-hmm. don't know about it. So when you talk to someone and they share something this personal with you, take it to heart and learn about it and realize maybe one more thing to count for your blessings that you're not going through this, but be there for somebody that is and just hold their hand and be there when they need you to. So I think that's the best advice. And certainly I loved learning more about this today because over the years I've heard about your EDS and I've gotten glimpses and pieces of it, but you know, this is a lot of new information for me too. And it's appreciated. I really appreciate you sharing it.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate you asking.
Well, absolutely. And I'm glad you agreed to get on my show with me and maybe we can do an update show in the near future and just kind of see if there's any changes or how you're feeling. And maybe we'll get to meet the dogs. Maybe next time we'll do a tour of the Narnia door in the Gothic
insanity
library.
That is this house. Well, I'll post some pictures next today. I got some new ideas that I'm going to try to put together today. So
do this for me because this episode probably won't be released for a week or so anyways.
Okay.
Take a couple pictures of some of your new projects for me. Send them to me. I'll add them to the video when I release the final product.
I will totally. I'm going to do some anyways. I haven't done any of the library. So I'll get you a couple pictures of the madness.
Very excited for this. Well, thank you, Crystal, for joining the Measuring Post. I truly, truly appreciate you, and we will catch up very soon.
Thanks, Joe. Love your face.